In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. We're taking the Passion Narratives of St. Mark. Why are you starting with Mark? It's the oldest gospel. It's the first gospel. And I'm reading from Mark 14:22. While they were eating, it was a Passover dinner, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take this. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood, the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Let me tell you, we can receive the Eucharist every day. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Verse 26, when they had sung a hymn after the Last Supper, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "You will become deserters, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though I all become deserters, I will not." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, the day, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter said vehemently, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them said the same. That's not what happened. They were all afraid. Jesus prays in Gethsemane. They went to a place called Gethsemane, means the place where the olive was crushed. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved before, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground, praying that if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." What was happening? Jesus was drawing men and women into his being, and it was very heavy. Luke tells us that God sent an angel to help him. And then after the angel helps him, he goes straight and does what he needs to do for you and for me. This whole thing of God's love on the cross is for you and for me. But not only in our heads, he wants us to know it in our hearts. We need revelation knowledge to know in our hearts that Christ died for you, that Christ died for me. We need revelation knowledge. He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation or the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping. Why are they sleeping? Are they tired? because it's heavy. I don't know if you've ever been in the presence of a sufferer. It's heavy. This sufferer is drawing all men, women, and children into himself. It's heavy. And they fall asleep. And once more he came and found them sleeping. Their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer, Judas, had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. St. John tells us the slave's name was Malchus. Luke tells us that he healed the ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled. All of them deserted him and fled." A certain young man was following, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. Who is this young man? Many commentators say it's Mark himself. Mark himself. They took Jesus to the high priest and all the chief priests, and the elders and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance already. He's not following him close. He's at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But he was silent and did not answer. Again the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why? We still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." The guards also took him over and beat him. All this was done for you. that you might have a revelation of God's love in Christ crucified. All this was done for me, that I might have a revelation of God's love crucified, out of love for me. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But Peter denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you are talking about." And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed, and the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know this man who you are talking about." At that moment the cock crowed for a second time. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. How many times have we denied Jesus? We're in the company of people, and it's a perfect time to share our witness. But we say, "Well, you know, they're not ready to hear it." No, it's not them, it's you. I'm not ready to say it. I'm afraid they might reject me. And I'm telling you, rejection is part of it. You know, Maria, by the grace of God, raised a woman from the dead. And now the family of the woman is calling Maria a false prophet. And they're saying she does it only for money. I know Maria doesn't only do it for money. Maria does it so that people's lives would be saved by the risen Christ. She's experiencing condemnation from the family. They should be having a party that their mother has been raised up and she's not dead anymore. But they're cursing Maria. It's all part of the gospel. Maria said, "It's the cross." But the cross is not sickness. This is the cross, persecution. Chapter 15. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus and they led him away. And handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. He was silent before his shearers, tells us in Isaiah 53. He opened not his mouth, like a lamb led to the slaughter. Verse 6. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone to whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. This is at Passover, they would release one person whom they wanted. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do to them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him released. Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again. Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the King of the Jews? They shouted back, crucify him. Pilate asked them, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. After flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. By his stripes we have been healed. By the stripes on his back we have been healed. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. Jesus is the April Fool. That's where April Fool's Day come from. I will not play with that terrible game, because Jesus is the April Fool. What? They clothe him in a purple cloak, and they twist thorns into a crown they put on him. And they began saluting him. Hail, King of the Jews. They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put on his own clothes. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. His name was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Mark knew Alexander and Rufus. They were Christians. Simon became a Christian after carrying the cross for Jesus. He is the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the skull, and they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified Jesus. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha! You would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." And those who were crucified with him also taunted him. Verse 33. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What does that mean? God did it, not from bottom to top. Now we have access into the Holy of Holies through the flesh of Jesus. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." That's a Gentile. There was also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joses and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee, and there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, saw where the body was laid. You see, the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ was done for you and me. And we need a revelation of this in our hearts, not only in our heads. We know it in our heads. We need a revelation of God's love in our hearts. That's what it's all about, to have the revelation of the cross in our hearts. Why did you read this? Because we need to hear it. The love of God poured out for you and for me. This is love. This is love. And God wants you to experience that love, the love of the crucified, that he went to the cross out of love for you. He went to the cross out of love for me. Father, we need a revelation of your love in our hearts. We need a revelation of Christ's love in our hearts. Please do that for us. We ask this in faith in the name of Jesus. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Love was crucified on the cross for you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.